T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going to hear from another SNY guy now, the NBA insider for SNY. Ian Begley is joining us now. The life expectancy for coaches in this town is not real high right now, Ian, and we saw another one bite the dust yesterday.
My goodness. I mean, the tenure of these local coaches, it's unbelievable when you put that list out. But, yeah, David Fizdale, I mean, say what you want about the talent on this team. It's not great, but you know, they were underperforming. They were 4-18, and then you lose by 44 to Milwaukee. You lose by 37 to Denver. That is always a recipe in the NBA for the head coach to get let go, and that's what we saw. You know, is all the blame on Fizdale? Absolutely not. Of course not. But, you know, people around the league saw that the talent on this team was better than the record showed, and that's always a mark against the head coach.
Yep. No, it is. You know, I've said this before, Ian, and, you know, when I watch the Knicks, it's hard to watch the Knicks, obviously. Number one, it's hard on the eyes. I think
you're telling me that.
Yeah, I know. You realize that as well. But, you know, I was saying that, you know, Taj Gibson is Bobby Portis, is Wayne Ellington, is Marcus Morris, is maybe Kevin Knox as well, too. It's just sameness across the board, and there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason. And I know part of that is because their plans were upset in the offseason. I understand that, but I don't know if a good roster construction job was done here in defense of Fizdale in that sense.
Right, yeah, he did not have a perfect roster by any stretch of the imagination. Imbalanced roster for sure. I think what really hurt Fizdale and the Knicks is I think they thought coming into the year they had a point guard who could penetrate the defense and create shots for his teammates in Dennis Smith Jr. Mm-hmm. Dennis Smith Jr. wasn't himself early on this season. Obviously missed a couple of weeks due to the death of a close family member and has been trying to work his way back since then. So they haven't had that penetrating point guard night in and night out that they thought they'd have. Alfred Payton, they thought he'd be able to help there. He's been out for a while. So that hamstrung Fizdale in a sense. Obviously the offense wasn't pretty. And Fizdale, you know, obviously shouldered a lot of blame for that. But the idea, I think, for the Knicks was they thought they had this point guard that could come in, tilt the defense, create easy shots. They haven't had that all year, and that's hurt Fizdale.
I think we know who's at the top. That's not going to change in James Dolan. Just below that, though, Steve Mills, Perry, what are your thoughts there as to what might happen with those two, what should happen with those two?
Right. So I was told that the day after they had that impromptu press conference, the weird press conference after
right.
they lost to Cleveland last month, mm-hmm. Jim Dolan talked to Mills, talked to other people with management, and the people with management came away under the impression that they would be safe. They'd be okay if the Knicks were to show progress to improve. I don't know how you define that. I don't know how Dolan defines that. We clearly didn't see that over the last couple of weeks. So I think if the Knicks are able to win some games, be competitive under interim head coach Mike Miller, then if you're Steve Mills, you say, listen, the roster was better than Fizdale was coaching it. So clearly the coach was the issue. Look at what we've done since then. And you make a case to say, but if they struggle, if they continue to get blown out, if they're non-competitive, I think it's going to be awfully tough for Steve Mills to make a case to remain as team president. Now, you talk about Scott Perry. I think Perry, since coming here, has done a pretty good job. Listen, they struck out in free agency last summer, and that kills them, and the Porzingis trade kills them. But if you look at what Perry has done to set this thing up moving forward, they didn't sign any long-term deals this summer. So they have cap
right.
flexibility. They have all their first-round picks. I think you have to credit the general manager there and Steve Mills there. But really, since Perry came in, he's done a good job cleaning the books. So that makes this job incredibly attractive if they were to move on from Mills and Perry. And what you asked me what I think they should do, you know, honestly, I don't see them making a ton of improvements over the the course of the year with Mike Miller, and I think it'll become clear at that point that, that you move on. Mm-hmm. But this job, again, because of what Perry did, is incredibly attractive because you have so much flexibility moving forward if they do decide to move on and bring in somebody else.
Yeah, they have to. Yeah, they've got to find the right person. You know, it's. I mean, with Mills, I mean, this Miller will be, I think, the sixth coach under his regime. He's been here since, what, 2013, I think. And, you know, they've had Woodson and who else? Fisher and Hornacek and Fisdale.
Kurt Rambis.
Yeah, another one. I forgot him. And now Miller. So, I mean, that's a lot of coaches in a short amount of time. I would think if things kind of remain the same, I would imagine they get a little bump, you know, with the change. Maybe they play better tonight and not lose by 37. But, you know, over time, that usually wears off. And if it continues that way, I don't know if he's earned the stripes to continue on. Let's put it that way.
No, it doesn't bode. If they struggle, it does not bode well for Steve Mills because, you know, you talk about him being here since 2013. Well, they hired Phil as the team president a couple months into Steve's tenure as team president. So he got bumped down to GM. And then he got elevated back to president after Phil left. So, you know, since then, you know, he signed Tim Hardaway, Ron Baker. Those deals weren't great. And then Scott Perry comes on. But really, since then, since he's taken over as team president, there hasn't been – the bullseye has been on him. And other times, like, he's kind of been, you know, under the radar a little bit because of the people above him. That's not the case now. And particularly now, once you go ahead and you fire David Fizdale, the head coach that you and Scott Perry hired after an exhaustive search, yeah. There's nowhere else to go. Like, the spotlight is on Mills, mm-hmm. and it's also on Perry going forward here because there's nothing left to say other than this is your responsibility, this is your team, this is what you have put together. So there's no one else to fire, no one else to blame. So, yes, for the rest of this year, there's going to be a ton of speculation about will Mills keep the job? Will they move on? And I think a lot of it depends on what the Knicks do under Mike Miller.
Last question on the Knicks before I move on to something more pleasant. All right, the Ian Begley and SNY's NBA Insider is with us here on The Fan. You know, Kevin Knox has been buried at times this year. We've seen a regression, I guess, in general from, you know, being the lottery pick last year to this year. RJ Barrett, does all this have a negative effect on him? Because I think he's a decent player, and I think he will be a good player, but you can also regress as well with the situation that's around you. Do you see that possibly happening to him?
He seems like a very mentally strong kid. So I don't think that being in this situation helps, but I don't see it. I mean, let's say that after this year, they've figured things out for one way or another and things are calm going into next season. I don't know if this whole experience will do anything negatively to RJ, but I think if whatever happens next, if that doesn't bring stability, I mean, you could see how he, coming from a program like Duke, and, you know, he's a sharp kid, he's been around top athletes for most of his life, so he has a savviness to him. He knows how things work around him. If he sees, I think, instability after this, whatever happens after this season, I think then you start to be worried because, you know, we saw it happen with Kristaps Porzingis. He didn't have faith in the organization. Yeah, so I'm not suggesting that RJ Barrett would do that. All I'm saying is mm-hmm. I think he'll want to see stability at some point. And if it's whether it's affecting him on the court or not, I don't think so. I think if you get through this year and then you bring somebody else in that everybody feels confident in, everything will be okay. But I don't think it helps. I'll say that.
Gotcha. Let's talk about the Nets. That's more pleasant anyway. And that makes it worse for the Knicks because, you know, they're playing well. There's no Kyrie Irving. There's also no Caris LeVert. And people forget that all the time. Everybody mentions Irving, but LeVert's a pretty good player that they're missing as well, too. Never mind Durant. That's not even here this year. But guys from the bench are helping out. Obviously, Dinwiddie and others have performed very well. And it's a fun team to watch right now.
Oh, they've been great in Kyrie Irving's absence. They won 5 out of 6 on the road since Irving went down, and it's been really impressive. And, you know, I guess locally the talk is dominated by the Knicks just because of the fan base. But I think, you know, Kenny Atkinson, the job he's done, we don't talk about it enough. We don't pay attention to it enough because to win the way they've won without Caris LeVert, without Kyrie Irving, it's just so impressive. I mean, they're sitting here 12-10. .500 on the road, and they have, we think Irving's going to be back at some point in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, once you get those guys back, I think it's going to be a challenge for Atkinson to immerse them into what you've established with players like Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, guys who have been here and know your system. That's going to be a little bit of a challenge. But the idea that you've tread water and excelled without those two players, it's just an impressive coaching job to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was just that's what I was going to move on to as well. You know, with all the coaching upheaval that we've had here and people complaining about head coaches, the Nets have a good head coach, and they have a guy who can teach people and has taught people. Kenny Atkinson has done a great job. I hope the people appreciate that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you look at what he and Sean Marks were dealt, and it was they were in such a bad state, the Nets, after that Pierce and Garnett trade that blew up in their faces. And they took their lumps, and they found players on the edges, on the margins, the Dinwiddies, the Joe Harrises, and they developed those guys, and they built a strong young core, and then they were able to attract top free agents. So, you know, if the Knicks are looking for a path forward, they're looking for the right way to do it, you have to look across town at the Brooklyn Nets, see what they did, and at least take some of that moving forward with this club. Like, it's horrendous the way this season has gone, but it gives you an excuse to build through the draft here, and I think that's the best path forward for New York. Build through the draft, go young, build a nice young core, and then try to attract free agents. Don't try to skip steps like he did last season, because that's ultimately going to hurt you.
Yep. SNY's NBA Insider, Ian Begley, I thank you very much for your time today. Appreciate it. Hopefully the coaches that remain will stay intact for a while, so enjoy the hoops, okay? Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Eddie.
All right, Ian Begley of SNY joining us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.